It's already translated before. It's in English on the tape already.
النقطة الأخيرة من الذي يحكم على شخص معين أنه مبتدع مع أننا نسمع من كثير من الناس عندنا هنا يقولون فلان ابن فلان وعلان مبتدع ومن أهل البدع وهم ليسوا من أهل العلم فهل وأحيانا وفي معظم الأوقات هذا الشخص المحكم عليه بالبدع أو بالمبتدع من الجهال ليس له من العلم شيء فهل هذا الحكم يترك على أهل العلم كذلك أو هل يجوز للطلب أن يقول أو للناس أن يقول فلان وفلان مبتدع ومن أهل البدع وهم لا يعتبرون من أهل العلم وهذا المحكم عليه كذلك من الجهل هنا
Sheikh, he said that that was already dealt with when he mentioned that the student of knowledge that, you know, he shouldn't be hasty and rushing to call a person, make a ruling on individual organizations or masajid. But he said that he still wants to mention something here. So, of course, it's for the tulab al-ilm that that's not something that we should be hasty about. Then, likewise, for the regular people, it makes more sense that they wouldn't be hasty about that. But the Sheikh, he said he wanted to add something.
ولا يجب أن يضاف في هذا لأن مثل هذا إذا كان جاهلا أو مبتدعا في طلب العلم كيف يحكم على شخص مبتدع نعم وهو لا يعرف البدعة ولا حدودها ولا ضوابطها ولا متى ألك البدعة فعلها شخص تكون مبتدعا له أم لا
نعم this is in addition to that how can a student of knowledge who is a beginner or a jahil or an ignorant person, how can they make the ruling that somebody is a mubtadi? He said, how did they don't even know, you know, do they know what bid'ah is? Do they know the rules and regulations of bid'ah? Do they know that the bid'ah that person commits, that it makes that person a mubtadi? Because some of the bid'ah somebody may do, he may not become a mubtadi because of that bid'ah that he's committed. But Shaykh, how can somebody who doesn't have knowledge, or somebody who's a beginner in their talab, or in their seeking of knowledge, How can they make this type of rule?
لا بد نؤكد هنا تأكيدا كبيرا من رجل العلم والارتباط بهم. نعم.
The Sheikh, he said, you must. It is a must. He said, and I want to re-emphasize this point or emphasize this point again and again. You must return back to the people of knowledge. It is a must that you return back to the people of knowledge. And that you stay, keep eyes close with them. And don't let the shaytan come to that student of knowledge. Because of the fact that he may know some issues and that he learned some things. And so that student of knowledge, therefore, he becomes a bit far and estranges himself from the people of knowledge. And then he starts having all types of weird and strange types of views. Because this is from the most dangerous of the things that will ruin the student of knowledge. And this is against totally the manhaj of the Salaf. As Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah ta'ala, he used to say to his son, Abdullah,
يا بني إياك أن تقول في مسألة بقول ليس لك فيها إمام.
Oh my son, beware of speak about an issue that you do not have someone who preceded you to that issue, or you are not following somebody else in that issue.
وآثارهم في هذا كثيرة.
And the آثار or the narrations of the Salaf as it relates to this are many. Now, next question.
Now, he says, but for respect of Sheikh Fawzi, who this hukm of Masjid Durar is coming from, is this issue of ikhtilaf, or whose right or because of the separation will continue? يقول, لكن مع احترام الشيخ فوزي حفظه الله وهو الذي صدر منه حكم مسجد الضرار الذي طبقه الإخوة هنا في ولايتنا هل هذه مسألة خلافية؟ لأن الاختلاف هنا سيستمر كما يشير إلى ذلك السائل، لأن الاختلاف سيستمر، فماذا، هل هي مسألة خلافية أم مسألة لم يختلف فيها العلماء؟
أولا أنا ذكرت لك مسجد الضرار وصفته وكيف يتعامل طالب العلم مع هذه المساجد وأنها تتفاوت، كل جماعة لها حكم معين، فوضحت بهذه الصورة ما فيه كفاية. ثانيا
The Sheikh, he said, firstly, I explained to you what Masjid al-Dirar is. I explained to you and I gave you its detail. And I explained that what is upon the student of knowledge as it relates to these issues. And I also explained that the ruling differs as it relates to the Jama'ah or the people who have started that masjid. Is there bid'ah, that which takes them out of Islam, or not? And I explained this and I made it clear with that which is sufficient.
تجيب عن بما سبق أن السائل تفرد بالسؤال وليس هناك خلاف في المسألة، لا يصور أن المسألة خلافية، تفرد بالسؤال وسأل الشيخ سؤالا بالصيغة التي يريد إيصالها هو إليه وليس الصيغة أنتم اتفقتم عليها جميعا في مسجد معين.
نعم. The Sheikh, he went on to say that I heard the tape of Sheikh Fawzi al-Azhari حفظه الله تعالى. And it is not an issue. He said, as for the tape with Sheikh Fawzi, it was a question that the questioner was independent in his asking the Sheikh. And it wasn't something that he went back, and it wasn't something that you all agreed upon as a Jama'ah and a group to ask the Sheikh. He had his own picture in his mind when he called the Sheikh, that he wanted to the Sheikh to hear about whatever he thought was the situation. So it wasn't something that came upon ittibaq or something that came upon agreement. And on top of that, the Sheikh Hafidullah, he said that this is not a mas'ala khilafiyya, that this is not a mas'ala that has difference of opinion in it as it relates to Masjid al-Dirar. He said that's what he had to say about that.
The other question is, okay, these masajid that are upon bid'ah.
عبد الرحمن.
كان ينبغي للأخ السائل أن يتريث وفي طرح مثل هذه الأسئلة. أن ينتظر في طرح مثل هذه الأسئلة ولا يتعجل بطرحها، إنها قد تسبب تشويشا وتشغيبا على إخوانه. فينبغي كما قلنا لكم سابقا أن تكون الفتوى منضبطة، هناك السؤال يتم الاتفاق عليه من قبلكم، تجتمعون تحددون ثم تعدد الشخص الذي تسألونه. فإن جاءكم شخص واتصل من خلفكم وجاء بإجابة أخرى لا يلتفت لها ولا يلقى لها بال، لأن هذا يكون مخالف للجماعة ويريد إثارة الفتنة بينكم. ينبغي التنبه إلى هذا الأمر، هذا أدعى للإئتلاف وأن تكونوا يدا واحدة وأن تكونوا مجتمعين فيما بينكم.
نعم. Then the Sheikh, he went on to say, حفظه الله تعالى, that it was upon the brother who asked the question to be patient and wait before he asked these type of questions without coming together with the rest of the brothers and making an agreement on what the question would be and who they were asked and so forth. He said, as I mentioned to you all before, and it's something that he mentioned to the brothers here, it may not have reached you, that it is important for us to have some fatwa or regulation as it regards to the fatwa that reaches the community. He said, so what we do is we come together and we decide the question that is going to be asked who is going to be asked that question. Then if anybody goes and they ask somebody else and they come from behind your back and do that, then it is not, they are not listening to you, they are not listened to, and they are not given any of your attention. Rather, you disregard anything that they come with, and you go with that which has been decided by the Jama'ah. He said, because these type of things, going behind the back and asking these type of questions, they are those type of things which can cause tashwish or confusion and division in the community. Wallahu a'lam.
You know. The next question, it says, okay, these masajid that are upon bid'ah but are still in the fold of Islam, but they make the opposition to the sunnah clearly. An example, we are not Salafi, they say, and we will never be Salafi, they say. What do we do with this, with people like this? As-sa'il yaqul, na'am, hadhi al-masajid hi allati tu'tabar annaha ala al-bid'ah, لكن البدع التي هي عليها لا تخرجهم عن الإسلام غير أن أصحاب هذه المساجد يخالفون سنة جهارا مثلا يقولون هم ليسوا سلفيين ويقولون لا نريد أن نكون سلفيين فكيف نتعامل مع هؤلاء حفظكم الله
متى وجدت مخالفا يرضى لك بما تدعوه لو كان يرضى لك بما تدعوه إليه لم يكن لك مخالفا.
He said, listen, when have you ever heard of somebody who goes against you agreeing with everything that you brought to him? If it was the fact that he agreed with you, he wouldn't be against you.
نعم. فينبغي لصاحب السنة إذا علم أن هؤلاء جهال وأنهم يقولون هذا الكلام مثل البغاوات يتناقلونه بينهم لا يعلمون ما فيه.
The Sheikh, he says, so it's upon the sahib of sunnah, or the one who is upon the sunnah, who knows that these people are ignorant, and he hears them say this type of speech, and they are closer to being parents than anything else. They just repeat everything else that they hear other people say. It is upon the one who is on the sunnah to do what the Sheikh is going to mention now.
يذهب إليهم خاصة إذا وجد أن عندهم نوع من الرغبة يذهب إليهم ويدرسهم ويعلمهم هذا بالنسبة لطالب العلم وأن يصلي معهم إذا كانت سلعتهم غير مكسرة بل هم ما يقولونه هذه من أخطاء إنما هي مجرد تهم يتناقلون بينهم لا صحة لها نعم
so the Sheikh said is upon the one who is on the sunnah and he is a student of knowledge and has the ability to take to them the da'wah, to go to them, to pray with them, to teach them, to give them the da'wah, to call them to that which is correct. Because it may be that many of them, they don't even know what they're saying. They just say it because they hear other people say it, and it goes around and it spreads around, and that's something that they just become famous for saying, even though it may not be something that they believe, if the one who goes to them is able to deal with them, and he is a student of knowledge, and he gives them the da'wah. And we have in the seerah, or the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a most fine example. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to go to Dar al-Nadwa, or the house of Nadwa, that had all types of statues and asnam, all types of statues and other things that will worship idols, that are worshipped other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all types of disbelief. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to go to them and call them to Islam. And they used to harm him. They used to harm the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a great harm. And they said that he was a magician, and you know, he was crazy and other things like that. So it is upon the sahib of sunnah, the one who is upon the sunnah and who possesses the sunnah, to be patient in his da'wah, to be patient in his da'wah, and to call them with that which is better.
من قبل المخالفين لهم نعم
And likewise, the Salaf, the Sahaba, and other than them, the Tabi'een, that they also, they were also harmed with a lot of harm and from many different angles and directions. They were harmed and given their da'wah and they were patient.
قام البخاري لما ذهب إلى خراسان وبدأ في نشر السنة قالوا أفسد الشباب عليه.
Imam al-Bukhari رحمه الله تعالى when he went to Khorasan, which is now known as a part of Iran, which Khorasan, which is known as like Iran and parts of Pakistan, parts of Afghanistan, when he went to this part, which is known as Khorasan, and he went to call the people to the Sunnah, and they were basically on the Hanafi Madhab, they spread around about Imam al-Bukhari that he was destroying the youth. And so they kicked him out of Khorasan. They kicked Imam al-Bukhari out.
وكذلك غيره يعني غيره مثل بعض أئمة السنة نسيت عالم من علماء السنة كان في سفينة أغلبها من المالكية المتعصبين لمذهبه فناقشهم بالقبض قبض اليدين على الصدر فما كانوا منه إلا أن ألقوه في الماء.
نعم. And like another one of the ulama, he said, I forgot exactly what his name is, he said, but he was from the ulama of the Sunnah, and he was on a boat in the middle of the ocean with a bunch of Malikis, and they were Muta'afsid. They were people who blind followed Imam Malik. And so he got into a discussion with them or a dispute about putting your hands on your chest while you pray. At the point that it got so bad that they just took him and they threw him off the boat into the middle of the ocean. So the Sahib of Sunnah, the one who is the possessor of the Sunnah, he has to take that to the people. He has to call the people to that which he has of the Sunnah and be patient with that which comes to him in return to that da'wah. The
Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam يقول المؤمن الذي يخالف الناس ويصبر على أداهم خير وأحب إلى الله من المؤمن الذي يخالف الناس لا يخالف الناس ولا يصبر على أداهم.
As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in authentic hadith, the believer who mixes with the people and is patient with their harm is better than the believer who doesn't mix with the people and is not patient with their harm.
طيب. Next question, he said, what do you say about a masjid that the administration is not following the sunnah, but themselves don't even pray in the masjid? But most of the people who pray are those who follow the Salaf al-Salih. Should they not pray there, even though the leadership doesn't pray but only for Jumu'ah? سائل يقول ماذا ما قولكم في المسجد في مسجد الله الذي إدارته لا تأخذ مذهب بطريقة السلف إدارته ليست سلفية وهم كذا ولا يصلون الجماعات في هذا المسجد وهم الإدارة غير أنهم يصلون الجمعة فقط فهل يجوز للطلبة العلم أن يتركوا الصلاة في مثل هذا المسجد علما أن إدارته لا تكون في المسجد إلا في أيام الجمعة والإدارة غير سلفية؟
السبق الإجابة عليه
نعم مثل هذا. نعم. The Sheikh said that the answer proceeded already with that and he explained.
That's how I thought, man. So just ask those questions.
Another question is,
another question is,
the thing is, mashallah, the Sheikh explained.
نعم. He says, Dear Noble Sheikh, I consider myself to be a regular member of this community, but there are some things that are very confusing to me. It appears that the administration is trying their best to tie the community to the people of knowledge. By having the like of these ilm lines and the previous workshop series and classes. However, there seems to be another group in the community that always prayed verdicts in opposition to what we hear in these talks and what the administration decides, and they want us to accept that from them. This has caused a lot of division and it seems to be tearing down the community, not building it, because we are, as regular people, are always included in this confusion. What should we do? Should we stop listening to them and tell them to fear Allah or what? Wow. Now, السائل يقول, let me try to get the translation good correctly. السائل يقول, أعتبر نفسي من هذه الجماعة, يعني من هذا المسجد الذي نحن فيه, لكن هناك أشياء تسبب الشبهة علي, يعني ويتبين عندي أن الإدارة تحاول جدا وباجتهاد أن تجعل المجتمع متمسك بأهل العلم, مثل هذه المحاضرات التي تلقى عبر الهواتف, ومثل الذي وقع في الصيف الماضي من الدورة الصيفية من المشايخ والدروس التي تلقى في المسجد, لكن نرى جماعة أخرى أو شرذمة قليلة من الشباب دائما ينشرون الأحكام والفتاوى التي تخالف ما يقوم عليه هذا المسجد والتي تخالف ما نسمعه من المحاضرات. نعم. ثم ويخالفون ما تتفق عليه الإدارة, وهذه الأمور تسبب الاختلاف والفرقة, ونرى دائما أنها تمزق ومزقت المجتمع, وهي تمزق ولا تبني. هذه الشبهات التي تأتي من هؤلاء نجدها ممزقة ولا نراها تبني شيئا, ونحن العوام لا نعلم شيئا, دائما نجد أنفسنا ما بين هذا وذاك. فماذا نفعل؟ هل نترك الاستماع من هؤلاء ونقول لهم اتقوا الله في أنفسكم أو ماذا؟ حفظكم الله.
قال تضمن جواب وهذا داخله الجواب, لكن نرتبه.
هو هذا, وأنا أقرأ الأصل حتى لا يقول قائل ما قرأت سؤالي.
He said that the question itself, in it is the answer. However, Allah will respond with that which with the following.
أولا عليه أن لا يسبب له شيء من التشويش إذا كان يقف في الإدارة وأنها ترجع لأهل العلم, فعليه أن يسمع لها لأنهم يفيدوه على علماء وعلى أناس مليئين.
نعم. He said, first of all, if this person he sees that the administration of the masjid turns the people back to the people of knowledge and to the ulama, and he turns them back to those people who have the ability to deal with the situations of the community, then it is upon him to have confidence in the administration of the masjid. That's first of all. He said, as for the other group that was mentioned, it seems that they have no other concern except to go against whatever the administration does. Even if they claim that they want good.
كما قال عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله عنه, رب مريد للخير لم يعطى.
As Abdullah bin Mas'ud رضي الله تعالى عنه said, perhaps there is one who wants good that he doesn't attain it.
يعني لم يوفق إليه.
يعني that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't guide him to that. Perhaps the one who wants good, he doesn't attain it.
ولم يسلك الطريق الصحيح في الوصول إليه.
That is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not guide him to that, and he doesn't follow the right path to attain that good.
ثم نقول لهم اتقوا الله اتقوا الله اتقوا الله.
And then we say to them three times what you heard the Shaykh just say, اتقوا الله اتقوا الله اتقوا الله.
إن كان هناك فعلا عندكم نصيحة ينبغي أن تتخذوا السبيل الصحيح في النصح.
If it is in fact that you have some nasiha for the administration, then it is upon you to follow the correct path and give a nasiha.
وخاصة أنكم تعلمون حرص الإدارة وحرص جماعتكم على لزوم السنة.
Especially if you know the striving of your administration and your people there that they want the sunnah and they want to follow the sunnah. Especially that you know that, it is upon you to follow the right way and give a nasiha.
وحبهم لها ولأهل العلم.
And you know that they love the sunnah and that they love أهل العلم.
ورجوعهم لأهل العلم.
And that they return back to أهل العلم. This is what you see of them.
فهم لا يفعلون شيء من أهوائهم.
And that they're not doing things because of their own desires.
ولذلك عليك أن تنصحهم سرا فيما بينك وبينهم.
And for that reason, it is upon you to advise them secretly between yourself and between them to advise them in private. And at that point, you will have done that which is upon you to do. And then, of course, there are some of the affairs that it is not appropriate to make them spread amongst the people. It is better to keep them, and it is more appropriate to keep them inside the administration itself. Because of the fact that these affairs being spread around can cause tashwish or confusion, as it has caused for the questioner. Or it can cause a lot of fitna and separation and division between you all.
كذلك أيضا ينبغي على هؤلاء أن يحذروا أولا من قبل الإدارة، فإن استجابوا فالحمد لله، وإذا لم يستجيبوا ينبغي أن يتم عزلهم، فلا يجوز لأحد أن يسمع لهم.
نعم. And then the sheikh went on to say that one minute. Then the sheikh, he went on to say, I wanted to make sure that I understood the sheikh properly. He went on to say that it is upon the idara, or the administration of the masjid, to pull those people that they see constantly going against the administration and that which the masjid is trying to do, to pull them to the side and to warn them. And to warn them. And that if they continue in this type of behavior, that they will not be listened to. And that they make clear to the people that these people who their concern is just to go against the administration, that they will not be listened to, and that nothing that they say should be taken. And that in turn will be closer to igniting the heart and to being further away from division and further away from causing shaitan to come in between the ranks.
Now, I think this is the last question I know concerning the bid'ah issue. I say, in dealing with the people of bid'ah and desires, after advising them of the wrong practice they follow and the desire they follow, and they continue to commit the same wrong actions, do you continue advising or do you leave them in their state and try or concentrate on your own affairs and pay no attention to theirs? سيقول في معاملة مع أهل البدع والأهواء بعد تقديم النصيحة لهم وتبيين ما عليهم من الأخطاء ما أخذوا بالنصيحة وما تركوا ما هم عليه. هل أقول السائل يقول في معاملة مع أهل البدعة والأهواء قد بعد تقديم النصيحة لهم وتبيين ما هم عليه من الأخطاء ثم لم يتركوا ما هم عليه، واصلوا ما هم عليه ولم يسمعوا إلى النصيحة ولم يأخذوا بها، هل يجوز للناصح أن يتركهم وشأنهم ثم يهتم بأموره وأمور مجتمعه ولا يبالي بهم؟
نعم، هذا سبق أن بيناه في المرة الماضية أن هذا يخضع للمصلحة والمفسدة، إذا مفسدته بهم يجد فيها نوع من النفع، أن البعض يستجيب وإن كان الأكثر لا يستجيب، يحرص على هؤلاء القلة وإن كانوا قلة يستفيدوا، فهذا يعني ينبغي أن يحرص عليه أولا.
Sheikh said that returns back something that we already mentioned from before, but he said it turns back to the way the harm and the benefit in the situation. And that is, if you find that some of them, even if they are little, but they are responding to the da'wah, then it is upon you to concern yourself with those people who respond and not to worry about those people who don't respond. That's what I remember from what the sheikh just said.
لا ينبغي له أن يغادر بالهجر يستخدمه ابتداء.
He says not, you know, appropriate for this one who's given the da'wah to you know, go right away into the phase of boycott or abandonment.
بل ينبغي له الصبر لو استجاب قلة فهذا يعني فضل من الله عز وجل.
He said rather to find him to be patient, and even if only a few of them or a small number of them respond to the da'wah, then that is a virtue that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this person.
فقد جاء في الحديث الصحيح أن النبي يأتي يوم القيامة وليس معه أحد لم يستجب له أحد.
As it comes in an authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that there will be a Nabi or a Prophet who will come on Yawm al-Qiyamah and there will be nobody with him. That is, that nobody responded to his da'wah. And another Prophet comes and with him is a person or two people.
فإذا كانت هناك مفسدة من وجوده فإنه ينبغي أن يتركهم ويدعم.
So if again this returns back to weighing the benefit and the harm in that situation. So if you return back now and we see that there are people who are answering this call to the sunnah and the like, then he should stay with them because in effect he is also repelling a lot of evil. He said, however, if in the situation there's not benefit and the harm is a lot greater than the benefit that comes, then it is upon him to leave them and leave calling them.
أن يدعو هؤلاء ويفتح الله على يديه القلوب ويستجيب له فلا ينبغي أن ينكر عليه ويقول هؤلاء أنا جلست معهم وأنه ما البدع وأنت كذب إليه ثم يبدأ يقع في أخيه ويصفه بأنه من أهل البدع وأنه سلك مثلكم.
نعم. The Shaykh went on to say something very important here, and that is that it is not permissible here to make a general ruling and to make the ruling general, more general than what it is. That is, we may find one who goes to these people and he doesn't have the ability to give him da'wah. However, his brother in Islam, his brother in calling to the sunnah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may have given him the ability and given him the type of uslub or the type of characteristics and the type of, the word is uslub, the type of mannerism where he is able to enter upon these people and give them the da'wah. So we find that one person may have not been able to give them the da'wah. It's not now permissible for us to come along and say there's a general ruling that these people now, they don't get the da'wah. Rather, if we find somebody from the people of the sunnah who is able to go to them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him the ability to call them to the sunnah, then he should go. That person should go. And the person who wasn't able to call them shouldn't say, well, you know, I sat with them and them people are people of bid'ah, and now Fulan is going and he's sitting with them and he's therefore, he follows their way. He's following their way by sitting with them and he is from the people of bid'ah. Now we find that he is in fact insulting or criticizing his brother for that which he wasn't able to do, but that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed his brother in calling to Islam, he allowed him to be able to do that. So it's not here permissible to make a general ruling in that situation.
وأذكر في هذا الإمام أحمد رحمه الله رأى القصاص ينتشرون ويعظون الناس ويستجيب لهم الناس على ضلالهم وانحرافهم حذر من القصاص ابتداء ثم قال وددت لو أن قاصا صدوق من أهل السنة يعظ الناس.
He said, and that which I will mention as it relates to this is that which Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned when he saw the spreading of the people, the storytellers, people who just tell people stories. He said he saw the way that the people used to answer to them and respect them and lend their ears to this type of storytelling. So Imam Ahmad, he didn't like this at first and he prohibited from it. However, then he went on to say that I wish that there was a storyteller that was saduq, he was one who was truthful and telling his stories, and one who followed the sunnah that would tell the people stories so that the people would follow the sunnah therefore upon his hand.
فهذه أبواب يفتح الله عز وجل بها على بعض الناس، لهم من الأسلوب ولهم من الصبر ولهم من الجلد لدعوة الناس، ويستجيب لهم الناس، يفتح الله عليه. وبعض الناس قد يكون طيبية في الخلق، كثير الجزع، قليل الصبر، فلا يستجيب له إلا القليل. وهذه أبواب، لا ينبغي أن ينكر هذا على هذا ولا هذا على هذا، إنما ينكر ذلك يأمر صاحبه بالصبر وأن يسع صدره وأن يصبر، وإذا لم يستطع هو فإنه يدع هذا لمن يقوم بهذا الأمر غير قيام يحسن أداء، يكمل بعضهم بعضا.
I want to mention Allah Ta'ala that also in here we have to realize that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, He gives people different abilities. So He may give this one the ability, and he has a way about himself, and he's patient, and he's very humble, and he doesn't get angry quick, and the likes of these type of things, so that he's able to deal with these people and give them the power. Well, we find that somebody else, he may be hasty, and his khuluq, his mannerism is, may not be that good. Character, he may not have the best of character, and he may not be patient with the people and things like this, that we find that maybe he won't be one who is able to call a lot of people to the Sunnah or to Islam and the like. But however, you know, this is from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored some of his slaves over others, and it's upon the ones that they call each other, that is these types of da'is, that some have this quality and some have that quality, that they call each other to that which is better, that this one sees that this one is impatient, that he commands him to be more patient and so forth, and that they yukammilu ba'dahum ba'dan. That is that each one of them, he fills the missing piece of the other one. He fills the missing piece of the other one. No person is perfect. So this one may have the ability, maybe more able in this area, and that one is more able in that area, and they work together as one body to perfection and the likes of these type of things. And excuse me for the bad translation.
That's good.
That's what the
Shaykh
has. He finished that question.
Okay. Okay. Another question, he said, a masjid has people who do acts that are not from Islam, but they do not involve acts against the Aqidah of Islam, and they do not call to deviation openly, and it hasn't been established that they are all deviant, just a few. But when you correct them, 90% of them, they listen. Is it therefore allowed to boycott them? What should be done? السائل يقول المسجد فيه بعض الناس يعملون أعمالا غير إسلامية لكنهم لا يقولون شيئا ضد عقيدة إسلامية ضد العقيدة الصحيحة السلفية، لا يقولون شيئا ضد ذلك، غير أنهم عندهم بعض أعمال غير إسلامية كما يقول السائل. ثم إنهم لا يدعون أحدا إلى البدع، ولم يقل أحد أنهم مبتدعون، غير قليل منهم، غير يعني مجموعة قليلة منهم قيل أنهم مبتدعون كما يقول السائل. وأحياء وفي معظم الأوقات إذا نصحوا 90% منهم يأخذون بالنصيحة ويستمعون أو يستمعون على النصيحة كما يشير السائل. إذا نصحوا تجد 90% منهم يستمعون للنصيحة. هل يجوز لأحدنا أن يقاطعهم إن كانت هذه هي حالهم، أو ما الذي يجوز أن يفعل؟ حفظكم الله.
جواب سبق التفصيل، لكن أقول بأن مثل هؤلاء لا يجوز مقاطعتهم، لا يجوز أن يقاطعهم، بل ينبغي أن يصبر ويدعوهم بالذي يحسن. نحن قلنا سابقا أنه قد يكون الشخص، يعني أنت الداعي عندما تدعو قوم لا بد أن تجد منهم مخالف، أي مخالف؟ هل تريد أن يوافقوك في كل أمر؟
نعم. الشيخ went on to say that the answer to this question already proceeded. But I will just say now that it is not permissible to cut off these people, abandon them, and boycott them. It is not permissible to do that. You know, I mentioned before it's a rather that, you know, you have to give them nasiha, if, especially if this is the case where they listen, or the majority of them listen, then it is a must and incumbent to give them the nasiha and to call them to that which is correct. And he said, I mentioned previously that, you know, what do you want as a caller? What do you want? You want everybody to listen to what you have to say? You want everybody to agree with what you have to say? He said, this is unconceivable.
طيب إن شاء الله سؤال the last question. Now he says our students in Philadelphia understood from your last lecture that the masjid could not be actual member of the Majlis Shura, and our imam is not qualified to call them to the Haqq. نعم ذي السؤال هذا آخر ما ورد إلينا من الأسئلة التي تتعلق بالموضوع. يقول طلابنا في فيلادلفيا فهموا من محاضرتكم السابقة أنكم قلتم لا ينبغي لهذا المسجد أن ينضم إلى مجلس الشورى في فيلادلفيا. ثم زادوا بعضهم قالوا أن الإمام ليس مؤهلا لدعوته من الحق، وينون بذلك الأخ الفقير المسكين عبد الرحمن الفريقي. فهذا هو السؤال، وهو آخر سؤال مما ورد إلينا من الأسئلة التي تتعلق بالموضوع حفظكم الله. فكأننا نعود إلى المحاضرة السابقة قبل أسبوعين. نعم.
يرجع إلى المحاضرة السابقة ويتأكدوا بأنفسهم. هذا خطأ، أنا لم أعني هذا أبداً.
He said, let them go back to the last tape that I did and let them listen for themselves. He said, I never meant that and that's a mistake. That's a mistake. That's incorrect. That's not what I meant. That he said they can go back and listen to the tape and let them reassure their own self.
كنت غير مؤهلا، لماذا يثقون في ترجمتك ويعني اتصالك بالعلماء وسؤالك كذا؟ هذا يعني تناقض منهم، هذا كلام غريب، هذا كلام.
إيش if عبد الرحمن الفقير المسكين is not you know qualified to give those people da'wah, so why do they trust him to call them a shaykh and they trust his translation and they trust him to connect the people with the people of knowledge? And so why do they trust? He said this is a clear contradiction and it is a very strange speech.
أنا صراحة يعني قلتني عليك خيرا بما رمسته منك وأحسبك كذلك، فإنك يعني من طلبة العلم يجتهدون في توضيح العقيدة ونصح الناس ونصرتها، وهذا جهد يشكر لك وينبغي لهم أن يعني يرجعوا إليك ويتعاونوا معك لنشر العقيدة بدل إثارة هذا الكلام السيء الذي لا فائدة منه.
I'm not going to translate everything the Sheikh said. I don't want to cut Abdul Rahman's net. But the Sheikh, he went on to praise him and say that he sees him to be from amongst the students of knowledge and from amongst those who are trying to connect the people with the people of knowledge. And he said, if those people who are talking about him will only leave that and leave that bad speech that they have and work together with him in trying to spread the aqidah of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, he said that would be much better, that they would do that instead of that. That is, that they would work together in spreading this da'wah instead of each one of them being at each other's throat and speaking bad about one another. Wallahu a'lam.
هذا آخر ما وردت إلينا من الأسئلة التي تتعلق بالموضوع يا شيخنا، ونرى أن الوقت تأخر عندكم ونخشى أن نطيل عليكم، فعندنا أسئلة متفرقة لا تتعلق بالموضوع، فإن أذنتم لنا وإلا نقف هنا، ونرى أن الوقت عندكم تأخر، فالأمر في يدكم حفظكم الله.
أرجى
Now we're just telling the show this was the last question from the topic that came, you know, and his time is late over there, and there's some question left that are not relating to the topic, but the decision on the Sheikh's hands and with them over there, whatever they decide, then they're going to cut off the talk. If they decide to continue, it's up to them. I give the decision to the Sheikh and them, that I just told him that, so inshallah, you know, whatever the Sheikh decide, we go with it. What do you think, Tahir?
The Sheikh just said that we'll postpone the questions, inshallah, to the next time.
Nah, inshallah. Allah sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.